Helen Luttrell, this Rachel's Eyes is quite a story. How are you, by the way?
Very well, thank you. Thank you for having us on your show, too.
Now, your daughter is Marissa, right?
That's correct.
And is she legally blind?
Yes, she was at that time. She was nearly totally blind as a result of diabetes since she was a young child.
Well, I can identify with that. I have diabetic retinopathy, too.
Oh, dear. Well, she did, and at that time there was very little treatment for it. We tried what there was, but it wasn't successful.
Well, why don't you tell our audience exactly what your daughter has to do with Rachel's eyes and why? Well, first of all, when did you first become aware that there's something different going on with her roommate?
It was probably a couple of months after the girls started to live together, because I kept hearing little bits and pieces from my daughter about the fact that Rachel seemed to be quite unusual and not really like other teenagers that particular age.
Had you met Rachel?
I hadn't at that time, but about, I believe they had been together about 3 months, about 3 months. And I finally got to meet Rachel, and that was when I discovered that the things that my daughter had been telling me about her really were true, and a whole lot more, too.
Now, your first impression was a validation, I guess, of your suspicions.
Yes, it was. I first realized that Rachel was drastically different.
Well, when you say drastically different, what do you mean?
In both appearance and speech.
Drastically different in appearance. Yeah, I mean, she was she a teenager at that time? Or?
Yes, she was, and I'm not sure of the age, but I think she was about the same age as my daughter because they were both enrolled in their first year of college, of junior college. So she had to be somewhere in that age range, 17, maybe 19.
When you say drastically different in appearance, I mean, she, what do you mean exactly?
Well, I can tell you what she looked like. This one evening, I had gone to visit my daughter, and I had hoped really hard to that I would get to meet Rachel, but she wasn't there at the time, and just as I was beginning to leave and go out the door, we could hear someone coming up the steps. Girls lived on the second floor, and I could hear someone coming up the steps, and it turned out to be Rachel, and she passed in through between us as my daughter and I stood on each side of the doorway to get something, and as she came in, my daughter introduced us, and right then I realized that the speech pattern was awfully different because she spoke mechanically and with no inflection, and she didn't use any contractions like don't or can't or anything like that.
In other words, if I understand this correctly, you're saying she talked almost like a robot.
Yes, she did. And as Rachel came back out of the apartment to leave because she had come to get a book or something she needed for an evening class, she tripped on the carpet. It was an old threadbare carpet, and she tripped right in front of me, and it looked as if she was going to fall on her face, and she made no effort to reach out and catch herself like people usually do, and so I reached to grab her so she wouldn't fall on her face, and as I did, the sleeves of her jumpsuit, well, let me stop for a minute and describe her dress here. She always wore jumpsuits, long sleeves, the long legs, which was the style in the 70s, early 70s. They were always different colors. It wasn't the same one, but It was always a jumpsuit, and she always wore big wraparound sunglasses and a scarf tied around her head. So back to, as I went to catch her, the sleeves of her jumpsuit slid up, and I grabbed her arm, the flesh of her arm, and it didn't feel real at all. It felt artificial, and it was spongy and kind of cool, which wasn't normal because it was really warm evening. And it felt as if it had the texture of mushrooms, kind of spongy.
Sure. Now, has your daughter mentioned this before?
She hadn't mentioned that.
She had never really touched her, probably.
I don't think she had. But anyway, I felt this, and I hung on to her arm as she, you know, stood her back up in front of me, and we were just face to face. And her glasses, her sunglasses, slid down on her nose, and I found myself looking straight into her eyes, which were really huge and slanted, and they kind of wrapped around onto her temples.
So in other words, she had big eyes, and they were oblong.
Yes, and rounded at the corners towards the nose.
What color were her eyes?
Her eyes were an avocado green, like the inside of an avocado, and they had vertical slits, which were black, and instead of the ordinary pupils that a person would have. And I felt momentarily that I was pulled into her eyes, and for a second I was really scared at what I was looking at, because I knew it was not anything from here.
And now before we go any further, were you interested in science fiction or UFOs or anything before this started happening?
Not really that much that I was aware of.
Yes, uh-huh.
Later in the book, it tells where, and actually, I guess I'd been involved in this sort of thing for all of my life. But at that point, I really wasn't.
And now when you grabbed her and the glasses came off and you felt the strange texture of the skin and it was cool and spongy, what was her reaction?
She just kept staring into my eyes, and I could see, I don't know if I could see, I think I just sensed fear that she had been discovered. And I was just so overwhelmed with the whole thing. I don't know what I was relaying to her, actually. But I know I had never seen anything like that in my life.
No. When everybody recovered there and they let loose of her, she pulled her glasses back up, probably.
Oh, yeah. She pulled her glasses up, pulled her sleeves down, and said, I don't remember the exact words, but it was something like, thank you for saving me. I must hurt.
It was emotionless and mechanical.
Mm-hmm. But yet I felt that I saw emotion in her eyes.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but
couldn't express it
verbally. Had your daughter said things to you before, like, boy, my roommate, she's just not real?
Yes, because for one thing, she couldn't eat regular food, and you know, teenagers are. Even my daughter, as a diabetic, she still would snack on stuff she shouldn't once in a while.
Sure, I understand. I still do.
Rachel could not have anything except this kind of a greenish, mushy-looking substance that came in little white boxes, and she couldn't drink any sodas or regular water. It was just a liquid that came in great big glass jugs.
I wonder where she got that.
Well, that always arrived mysteriously outside of the apartment door, just outside of it, at just about the time she was about to run out.
Do you know if your daughter confronted her about this? I mean, she's bound. Teenagers are bound. The kids say, man, you have strange diet.
Well, yes, she did, but Rachel's response was, well, that was the only thing that she was allowed to eat. Her system was a little different, she told my daughter, and I guess it really was.
Did Rachel ever confront her and say, are you of this world?
No, she didn't. And well, not that I know of, and I don't understand why. I think she probably just suspected that she wasn't of this world and maybe was afraid to get a direct answer. The girls got along well together, except that at that time my daughter's sight was quite bad, and she needed some help in getting out clothes for each day, you know, things that would kind of coordinate. Summers went, and Rachel was not doing very well. She had no sense of what colors went together, and that was a problem, and my daughter talked to me about that.
So when how did they meet?
They met in the counselor's office.
So it was just kind of arranged that they would be roommates, probably.
I think so, yes, because it was just awfully quick that the match was made, because my daughter needed someone right away for financial help with her expenses. And it just turned out that this Air Force colonel walked in the office with a strange daughter, and she needed a special arrangement too, where somebody wouldn't be too critical of how she acted or what she did, because apparently he had raised her most of her life on a real remote base in Nevada.
What kind of complexion did Rachel have?
It was kind of an orangish greenish. It wasn't bright colored. It was pale, but it was obvious too. And she had reddish blonde hair, more red than blonde. And it was kind of wispy and didn't seem to be able to be combed into. It didn't follow the direction that apparently she wanted. She just kind of let it go.
Did you ever meet the father, the colonel? What was his name? You remember?
Well, the name that he gave me was Harry Nadine, N-A-D-I-E-N.
The way you say that, I take it that you might have some suspicion on whether or not that's really his name.
I do have a suspicion. At the time, I was so naive or something. I just didn't question a lot of things that I would now, but having worked for the government for quite a few years and the time gone by since it happened, I realized that was probably a cover.
What did you do for the government, can you say?
Yes, I was in communications for a while, and then I was in procurement, and then I was in shipping. I kind of had a very background.
How long did your daughter have Rachel as a roommate?
I think it was about 4 to 5 months. Because shortly after I had my face-to-face meeting with Rachel, she was nervous about, apparently, about having her cover blown and what, you know, what might happen as a consequence. Maybe I wouldn't want her to stay there, or maybe my daughter wouldn't want her to stay. Which was definitely not, that wasn't the case, because they had been good friends before that, and just the fact that I saw what she really looked like, it really didn't make any difference to me at that point.
You still didn't think to yourself, my God, my daughter's living with an alien, she needs to get away.
No, I didn't think that, and I know that would certainly seem strange to anyone that's listening, but I was just going on what had happened in the past, and they had gotten to be fairly good friends, although it was on an odd basis, because it was hard to carry on a conversation with Rachel.
Did Rachel have boyfriends?
Yes. Well, my daughter arranged a few dates, double dates.
I wonder how that went.
Well, one that I know of was rather strange, because the boy involved, or the man involved, he doesn't remember anything past about the first hour. He's quite bothered by that now, because he can't remember. But it wasn't because they all went out and got drunk or something. It was just that he just simply can't remember.
Yeah, were they together all that time, both girls, or do you know?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. About that. I would suspect they may have split up.
Colonel Nadine, he looked normal to you?
Yes, he looked normal. In fact, he was a good-looking man.
Rachel and the colonel, I imagine by now you've lost contact with them.
Yes, I was led to believe from the regressions that I underwent, and I underwent a lot of them because there were so many unanswered questions to this story. In one of those regressions, it came out that Rachel had been killed because she had acquired too many human emotions. Her purpose in this whole scenario was that she was sent here from her home planet to see, under the auspices of our government, to see how many human emotions she could acquire, or what degree of emotions she could acquire. And apparently she had acquired a few too many. And so they decided that she really needed to be disposed of.
Well, that doesn't sound like they're very nice people or entities. I mean, this sounds like maybe this is not all a good experience.
Probably not, but I think the major portion of the decision-making was made by our government.
By this government?
By this our government.
You don't think they just sent her home?
I don't think so. It is possible, I guess, but I don't think so. And I have no knowledge of what has happened to her father. He'd be an older man. He'd probably be in his 70s now. And so definitely he'd be retired from the service, but whether he's passed away or had one of those mysterious accidents that happens to people like that.
Now, you said you had regression therapy. Somebody up in Oregon do that for you?
No, in fact, it was a lady down in the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area, a Dr. June Steiner. Excellent, excellent hypnotherapist, and the family counselor.
What made you take the decision in your own way to undergo hypnotherapy? I mean, were things bothering you, or you just figured there was more to it than you knew? Did you have missing time yourself?
No, I don't think so. Well, not that I was aware of, but Gene Villadue, my co-author, was conducting an investigation, and I would tell her about some of these events, and she just knew that there had to be more to it.
Yeah, we're gonna call her in a little bit.
She can fill you in on that, but it was kind of her doing that we were able to contact Dr. Steiner, who did the regress, and we uncovered an awful lot of corroboration.
Now, you saw Rachel more than this one time.
Yes, I did. I saw her, I think it was 2 or 3 weeks after our initial meeting, and I had stopped on the way home from work at the apartment, was hoping to see my daughter, but she hadn't come home from class, so I thought I would just wait a few minutes since Rachel was there, and we started to talk, but she just kept staring at me, and it seemed that, well, I had some missing time there, I guess. That was probably a good instance of it. But it turned out that she wanted to take me and show me where she came from.
Oh, really? You actually got into discussion about it?
Yes, we did.
I mean, what'd you say to her? Like, my goodness, I don't think you're from here.
No, that wasn't how it was. She initiated that. I just really was not going to approach the subject at that point about that, although I was thinking about it. But no, she said, Marissa is lucky to have a mother. And I said, yes, I guess she is. And she said, I wish you could be my mother. And I said, well, I can't do that. I can be your friend, but I can't be your mother. And she said, I want to show you where I come from. And so all this time we were having this little exchange, she was just staring into my eyes. And all of a sudden, I found myself not in that kitchen anymore, I had been standing in the kitchen with my back to one of those old porcelain tables, and I had one hand behind me on that, and I remember feeling how cool it was. And so all of a sudden, I found myself somewhere else, and I believe it was on a ship, space. And at any rate, I was standing on the outside of this big room, really huge room, oval shaped, and it had windows all the way around it, as far as I could see. And Rachel was on the inside of these windows, and she said, I want you to come inside. I want to show you where I came from. And I said, well, I can't do that. There's no door. So she said, well, that doesn't make any difference. You can come through the window. And she said, I'll put my hand up on the glass on the inside. You put your hand on the outside over mine, and you'll just come through. And I thought, boy, this is kind of crazy, but I guess I'll try it. And I tried it. I put my hand up, and all of a sudden, I was through that window. On the other side was her.
When you got in there, what was it, some sort of viewing area or something?
Well, yes. We went a few steps and into an opening, into another large room, and there were double rows of tanks that looked like aquariums. They were about the same size as a large aquarium. And they had liquid in it, kind of greenish liquid. And floating around in this liquid were some sort of beings. They looked like fetuses in different stages of development. And I was just horrified. I felt sick to my stomach. And I said, I have to get out of here. I can't stand this. I can't look at this. And she said, you have to look. You have to know where I came from. And I said, well, okay, I just don't feel well, Rachel. I need to go back. And she said something. Actually, I don't think it was her. It was like a message I got in telepathically from somewhere, and it wasn't in her voice. I'm not sure it was from her, but they wanted me to help take care of those awful working things in the aquarium, and I told her verbally, I can't do this. I don't want to, and I'm not going to. And she said, well, that's all right. We'll find another job for you. And then she said, you can be an educator. I guess I wasn't very cooperative because I said, well, I don't have any credentials. I can't teach. She said, you need to tell this story. And so I said, well, I guess I could do that. But I need to go back. So she took me back, and we passed through that outer row of windows the same way that we'd come in, only this time we were both on the same side. But she just put her hand beside mine on the glass, and we both passed through it.
And you were back in the apartment?
Back in the apartment. That same hand was still on the kitchen table, feeling that cool porcelain top.
This happened in the 70s, and it took you a long time to tell a story.
Well, yes, it did.
I don't mean anything by that, other than just an observation.
Well, yes, and I wanted to do something with that story long, much sooner than I did. But I hesitated because my daughter got through college and received her master's and everything, despite all her handicaps. And she got married and had a family. And I didn't want to bring even the part that I was aware of. I didn't want to bring that part out and cause her a lot of publicity or notoriety or whatever. And about 14 years ago, she passed away.
What, an accident? She had diabetes.
Yeah, she had diabetes, and it was just as a result of the diabetes. One of those things that happened that had to do with her heart. And actually, she lived a lot longer than any of us had expected.
Well, you mentioned that she could see again. How did that happen?
She had regained part of her sight. Back to Rachel and her being kind of concerned because I had seen what she really looked like. A few weeks after that, I had a meeting with the colonel, who told me, partially verbally, but the majority of it, the telepathic, kind of like downloading a big file into my mind about where he acquired Rachel.
So, I mean, you met the colonel, where did this happen? At his house? Or?
At his girl's apartment, because he had asked my daughter if she would set up a time for me to come because he felt that I needed to know the whole story because I had been kind to Rachel.
So he sat there, and you were there. Were the two girls there?
My daughter was in the living room with us, and Rachel was in her room because she wanted to be. She didn't want to be out there. And I think she just she was having trouble dealing with the whole situation. And so he did tell me the whole story.
What did he say? How did he end up with the girl?
He went through his specialized training and was assigned to this secret base called Four Corners. But it hasn't anything to do with the geographical Four Corners. You know, Utica and Nevada, whatever. There's a geographical Four Corners. But this was different. This was kind of like a code name for this base that didn't exist. Kind of like an Area 51 situation. And anyway, he was assigned to the duty of recovering crashed spacecraft and the occupants, if any. And there was an exchange program going on at that time, and most of the craft had not crashed. A lot of them were just carrying scientists that were coming from various planets, and they were working with our scientists.
So probably an underground base or something?
Yes, it was. There were just some old dilapidated ranch buildings.
And where was this? Did you ever figure out where the location really was?
I haven't pinpointed pretty much. No, actually, he took me there one time, just before all of this whole thing ended.
So you and he became actually friends.
Yeah, we weren't real close, but...
Right, but I mean, understand your acquaintances. You had a common thing there.
And at any rate, he went on and relayed this information to me about this one particular crash where two of the occupants were thrown out and killed on impact. But and the vehicle was beginning to burn, and there was smoke and everything coming from it. And he got closer and to it, as close as he could, and he thought he saw a movement in there. So he went in and recovered Rachel, who was laying there, and she wasn't really hurt badly. She had a big scratch on her arm, but that was nothing too serious. And so he took her out of the craft and to the little dispensary that they had there at the base, and almost immediately felt a bomb that he couldn't explain because he'd never been close with any children, you know, younger people. And at any rate, he decided that he wanted to keep her there.
In your own mind, do you think Rachel is a hybrid, or do you think she's actually an extraterrestrial, for lack of a better term?
I think she's a hybrid. There was another hybrid there at base who was working on genetics with some of our professors, and he was really helpful in devising some kind of a food and liquid formula for her to drink, which ultimately became that awful green stuff in the little white boxes, that liquid in the jug. And he figured out that she was probably about a third human and the two-thirds extraterrestrial.
Do you have any idea where Rachel's two-thirds came from?
Supposedly Zeta Reticuli.
You say supposedly because you weren't told officially or directly?
Told the colonel was told, and then he relayed it to me, so I'm getting it third hand, or second hand.
Okay, now how did After 5 months or so, Rachel just disappeared?
Yes. My daughter came home from class one day, and I was working in the same general area she was for the military. And she came home from class one day, and Rachel and all her things were gone. And my daughter was in a panic, called me, and told me. And so I called Fred, who was quite highly placed in base security there where I worked. And told him the situation and had him check on it, on the father's whereabouts, and because he was assigned to a base locally, another base. And he called right back, said he discovered that Colonel's records had all been pulled, and there was no word of where he had gone. It was like he had never existed. But the same person that I called knew that he did exist, because when I first began to suspect what may be happening, I had called the same man and had him check on the colonel, and he told me that my suspicions were likely correct, and he told me where the colonel had come from, which corroborated what the colonel himself told me. So he just sort of dropped out of sight.
Well, perhaps they not only killed Rachel, they killed the colonel.
Possibly. And I called the college admissions. They had no record of her. Nothing. It was she never. But we have interviewed people that knew her from school and socially, and she did exist, and she did attend that school.
And she has a record there?
Well, yes, she does. It's not really easy to get a hold of, but towards the end of the investigation, someone who was working for Jean, doing investigations for her, had been in contact with the college, and first they told him that there was no record, nothing. And just towards the end of the investigation, all of a sudden, he received a letter on embossed college stationery that said she had enrolled in, at the time that we're talking about, and that she had requested a leave of absence. So that did confirm. We have a copy of that letter last night.
Now, Jen, we're going to call Jean on the phone here and get her involved in the conversation as well. But before I do that, it seems to me, and maybe I'm putting words in your mouth, and I am. If I am, you correct me. But it seems to me that your daughter accepted that Rachel probably was not of this world and still bonded with her quite well.
Yeah, she was a very unusual girl. Maybe we all say that about our children, but she was. She was always for the underdog and people that were not very privileged, would always go way out of her way to help them. And I think it was not a big leap for her to accept Rachel as she was. It really didn't seem to be a problem at all, except, you know, it was hard to talk to her and relate to her because she had no funds of knowledge to draw from that a regular teenager would. You know, music or boys and, you know, things like that.
I wonder if Rachel ever mentioned where she went to high school.
She did. I don't know. She could have mentioned it to my daughter, but the colonel told me that it was like a homeschooling thing they had there on the little base. They had a lady come in who was from also from the Aerospace Technical Information Command who did ritual schooling. Could I give out the how to get this book?
Well, I think you should. And we of course, gave it a couple of times already, but go ahead and do it. But do it again. It's always better when it's in your voice.
All right. You can call 1-800-366-0264, or you can go to www.fifthworld.com/Rachel, and that's 5-T-H for fifth, and Rachel is R-A-E-C-H-E-L.
Jean, how are you?
Just fine, thank you.
We're doing fine. We have Helen on the phone. And how did Helen, did she look you up, or how did that work? How did you get involved?
Well, I did a series. I was working for a local newspaper, and they were gracious enough to give me four full pages of a record of my UFO sightings, of people that had seen things around here that were unexplained. And she had heard about this.
So you've been writing about UFOs for a while.
Yes, about 10 years. Well, not before, but I have been since.
Yeah, since the whole thing started. When you first heard Helen's story, pretty incredulous, what'd you think of it?
Well, I wasn't sure. You know, she was so sincere. And that led me to believe it. But I wanted a little more proof. It was pretty wild from anything I'd ever heard before.
And one of the things, as you know, in these type of stories, proof is hard to come by sometimes.
That's true. But, you know, I was right down to the nitty-gritty. Did she ever have a daughter that was blind? I didn't even know that. So, you know, slowly by slowly, we just started taking away at little details. And everything always panned out.
Now, I didn't talk to Helen about the government action over this. We talked basically about her experiences with Rachel and the Colonel before you came in on the conversation. But there was you pretty much decided or found out that this was part of a government project. Is that correct?
That's right. And Helen had long suspected that.
Tell me a little bit about this government project.
Well, it was called the Humanization Project.
A humanization project and involving extraterrestrials and hybrids. It's kind of like a interstellar exchange program, for a lack of a better term?
Probably. And they wanted to see if they could integrate hybrids into the normal population and if they could function. And of course, Rachel was what we think is their first try. We don't know for sure.
Well, now, you know, Helen mentioned that her skin was cold and soft and pliable, and in UFOlogy, sounds like reptilians to me, but I don't know. What do you think? Tell me about it. Tell me what you think about this whole thing. Do you know where Rachel came from?
I was led to believe she came from Zeta Reticuli. I didn't ever feel that she was reptilian, but she could have been, because it seems that nothing in this whole saga here is what it appeared to be, maybe at first glance or whatever, but I still don't think that she was reptilian.
Yeah, I understand. I just kind of threw that out.
Reptilian seems way far out. Of course, we're talking about way far out. But there's always a negative connotation with reptilian.
Yeah, that's because they're cold-blooded animals, but that's just a human spin on it, probably. Anyway, this humanization program happened where? In the Nevada, Utah area, or where?
In Nevada.
And did you find any evidence of that program physically? Did you go out there?
Well, we wanted to check Helen's story because through the regressions, there were some holes in her story, and of course we had to try to fill those holes. And we sent someone out with a video camera, and it appeared that Helen had visited, the Colonel had taken Helen to this Four Corners place. So we sent someone out, and they filmed. We had just about the exact location. So he just filmed, I think, three or four different dirt roads leading off into the desert. And he knew which one was the one that fit the direction. And she looked at the video and picked out the right one.
Now when he was out there and in your investigation, I mean, were there other stories about this project besides the one coming from Helen?
Well, I purposely did not want to be distracted or influenced in any way by other stories circulating around, because that would influence the way I ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
So I just almost isolated myself from the other things going around and just concentrated on Helen and her story.
Well, yeah, it's important to focus, so I can understand that.
Certainly some wonderful synchronicities of other stories once we finished up and started listening to things, and even since we've had the book published, there's been some interesting things we've learned about.
Like, could you give me an example?
Well, we heard about Charles Hall.
Yeah, I know Charles. I've interviewed him. That was the first thing I thought of when she started describing Rachel.
And we have, you know, we've never talked to him. I've never heard him on the radio. I don't live in an area where I can get radio reception. But it's, from what I've heard, sounds very similar.
Yeah, he talks about the tall whites and they're humanoid.
One of the things that came out since the publication of the book was that someone that was raised in southeastern Nevada, in that area, was talking to some friends and they said, Four Corners, Four Corners. Oh, we know where Four Corners is. They don't call it that on the maps anymore. And it was the same place. And he just quit calling it Four Corners.
Now, when this happened to Helen and her daughter, that was back in the 70s. Logic would assume that alien hybrids are among us today. The name of the book is Rachel's Eyes. We have information on how you can order the book here on the website. We still have a second half of the show to come, so don't go away. Some incredible things to talk about yet. I'm Jerry Pippin, and you're listening to the UFO Files. Let me talk to you about our website for a minute. We're on the World Wide Web, of course, at jerrypippin.com. That's P-I-P-P-I-N, Jerry Pippin is all one word, naturally. We bill our website as Adventures in Internet Broadcasting, and we have lots of video, hundreds of hours of audio programs, and they're not all just UFO and paranormal programs, even though we do have complete conference coverage of all the major UFO conferences, talking to all the movers and shakers in the UFO research business, plus many people who've had experiences with UFOs, either sighting them or worse. In addition to that, we have a memory section, so you can jump back into the time machine and go back and enjoy memories from good old oldies music. And in addition to that, we have a conspiracy files. Oh, we have all kinds of things. Entertainment, that's what we stress at jerrypippin.com. So check us out, jerrypippin.com. P as in Paul. jerrypippin.com.